How many people are going to be saved? He said, look, don't worry about how many, because there's going to be a few. Worry about yourself. That's what he said. Why? Strive to enter into the kingdom of God. The word strive in Greek there is agonizo. Agonize to get in. Why? Because many will want to come in, but very few are going to find the way to get in. These are the days that we're living in. Don't abuse the grace of God.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Years ago, Raul gave lip service to the Lord while continually indulging in worldly temptations. Only God's grace kept him from total self-destruction. For Raul's encouraging testimony of finding restoration through repentance, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD. Well, today's message from Raul continues our series centered on God's mighty grace. We'll get a challenge to remain faithful to the Lord. You know, it's easy to say that we're a Christian and then presume on God's grace. But as you stay with us here on Somebody Loves You Radio, you'll see that the Lord isn't fooled. While He always is quick to forgive when we genuinely repent, willful sin doesn't go unnoticed or undisciplined. Here's Raul Reese now with the continuation of the message, God's Grace Limited to Us.
Now, another thing that we have to be careful with is the dangers of grace not being properly used or exercised. What do I mean by that? Well, number one, we know for sure that we can abuse God's grace. We can sit there and we can say, well, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and He's a forgiving God and a loving God. So that gives me the right that whatever I do, God will forgive me. You see, we have to be careful that once we get saved, God says that no man will ever see God apart from holiness. The goal that we should put on our lives is to become like Him. Secondly, we can frustrate God's grace. In Galatians 2:21, Paul says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. You see, I do not frustrate the grace of God. You see, we cannot by taking advantage of grace. Thirdly, we cannot turn from God's grace. You see, because people can turn from God's grace. And you say, well, what would happen with a person like that? Let's say a person that is in the church that's been abusing the grace of God and frustrating the grace of God. And God, you see, if you're a real child of God, what's going to happen? You can get away with what you do. Why? Because God loves you so much. Read the book of Hebrews chapter 12. What will God do? Before God wipes you out, He is going to chasten you. He's going to pursue after you. What do you mean? He says, if a father loves his children and his children are in danger and they're not doing what is right, what does a parent do? He disciplines his child. That's why Paul said those guys that were in the church of Corinth and they were living in sin, he says, cast them out. Why? For the destruction of the flesh, so that their flesh will be beat up and defeated, but at the end they'll repent and what? Their soul will be saved. Or otherwise they'll be eternally lost. You mean, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that when you receive the grace of God, you're a child of God, and you go back into sin, which we call backsliding, and then let's say that you don't come back to the Lord, but you die as an alcoholic and as a drug addict or as a fornicator or an adulterer. Would they go to heaven or they would go to hell? Well, according to Jesus, they would go to hell. Don't put your trust in past experiences. God's mercies are fresh every day, the Bible says. That's why we need to examine our lives before God every day. He said, wait a minute. I don't believe that. Maybe you should go back and read what Ezekiel says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, chapter 18, and chapter 33, concerning the responsibility of the watchman. This is what he says in the Old Testament. Remember, the Old Testament is law. He says this. He says, if the watchman is called by God to warn someone about sin, let's say that I have a friend, and God speaks to me, and I'm a watchman, and I go and I tell them, whatever his name may be, let's say John. John, man, you know what? You better repent, because God loves you, and God wants to see you in heaven. You're destroying your life with alcohol and drugs, man, and you're going to die, and you're going to go to hell. He has two things he can do. He can receive it, or he can reject it. I don't have to worry about conversion. I can leave him alone. Then the scripture says this, now that I've warned him, and if he should die that night without repentance, God says that what? I am free from that man's blood. That's what the scripture says. I'm not guilty anymore. And you see that if I don't tell my friend that he's going to hell and let him live as he pleases, if that person dies and I didn't warn him, when that person dies and goes to hell, God says, I will hold you responsible for his blood. Read it. It's clear right there. And you know what else he says? That's incredible. He goes on and he says, if a righteous man... Well, let me read it to you. I don't want to quote it. I'll read it to you. Turn to Ezekiel 18 for 1 second. Beginning with verse 19. He says, you say, why should the sons not bear the guilt of the father? Because the sons have done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and done them, he shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. What is God saying? That every man is responsible for his own soul and his own sins. I like that. Watch this. Verse 21. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins, he repents, which he has committed, and keeps all my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, and he shall not die. That's eternally. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. That sounds like New Testament theology. God forgives you. He cleanses you if you repent. Watch this. This is incredible. He says, none of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him anymore. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Now, do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? God says, do you think that I enjoy people going to hell? No. Why? Because God didn't make hell for men. He made it for the demons and Satan. Matthew 25:41 says that. Look what he says. Do you think that I have pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Saith the Lord God. And not that they should repent from his ways and live. But when a righteous man, now here it is, here's the key. I want you to underline this. When a righteous man, who's a righteous man? That's you and me. The one that knows God. But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness. You see, when you turn from faith, why? Because by faith we come to righteousness by putting our faith and trust in Christ. If you turn away from God once you've known God, look what he says. But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, you go back to sinning. And that's according to all the abominations that the wicked man does. If you become just like the world again, shall he live? God says, all the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered anymore because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty of, and the sin which he has committed because of them, he shall die. You know what that word die is? You can look it up in your own lexicon, Hebrew lexicon, or Strong Concordance. It means eternally death in hell. You will die eternally. Who's that? The wicked? No, the righteous man that turns from his righteousness. Pretty heavy. The one that abuses the grace of God, that continues to practice sin. You see, wait a minute. If a person tonight is living and they've accepted Christ, and they've backslidden, and they're in an adulterous relationship, living with a woman, and they're having sex, And if they were going down to the liquor store to buy whatever, beer, whatever, and they got hit with a car and they got killed, you mean to tell me they wouldn't go to heaven? No. They would go to hell. Why? Because they're living in sin. Unless you turn from your sin, you cannot enter God. Why? Into heaven. Because God only accepts what? Holiness, thus saith the Lord. Abiding in Jesus Christ. Watch what he says. He goes on. Verse 25. Yet you say, look at, and this is what the Calvinists will say and other people. They say, hey, the way of the Lord is not fair. No, no, that's not true. Now hear now this, O house of Israel. Is not my ways which are fair or your ways which are unfair? Who's right and who's wrong? You see, God is holy, but you're unholy. You're the one that is not living up to God's word. You see? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, he repeats it twice. And when God says it twice, you better listen. When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and dies in it. Here it is. He confirms it. And dies in his sin. It is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies eternally. Don't let people come to you and try to twist the scriptures to let you say that you're okay in your sin and don't worry about it. The love of God and the grace of God, I believe in all that, but you better have a real repentant heart. And what is repentance? To turn away from that sin. Because if you die in that sin, you die in your sins. That's what Paul is saying, and this is what Ezekiel said. Ephesians chapter 5 says the same thing. James says the same thing. Peter says the same thing. God is the one that judges. You better, don't worry about other people. Worry about yourself. You better make sure you make it there. Because what does he say in the book of Luke? He says, guy came to Jesus, said, Jesus, by the way, let me ask you something. How many people are going to be saved? He said, look, don't worry about how many, because there's going to be few. Worry about yourself. That's what he said. Why? Strive to enter into the kingdom of God. The word strive in Greek there is agonizo. Agonize to get in. Why? Because many will want to come in, but very few are going to find the way to get in. These are the days that we're living in. Don't abuse the grace of God. Enjoy it. Love it. But don't abuse it. Listen to the way Dr. Billy Graham describes the grace of God. He says, grace is not sought, nor bought, nor wrought. It is a free gift of Almighty God to the needy mankind. The motive of grace is the infinite, compassionate love of a merciful God. But the work of grace was the death of Christ on the cross. God paid by his own son coming into the world and dying for your sins and for you and me. Grace is not cheap. Remember that. It is the gift of God that cost him his life. As a matter of fact, this word grace was one of Paul's favorite words. In the Greek, it's word charis. It's used 156 times in the New Testament. No less than 110 times of these occurrences are in Paul's epistles in his 14 letters. In 14 letters, Paul uses out of 156 times, 110 times the word grace. Think about that. Unmerited favor. That's what it means. Undeserved favor, free, given to you and I as children of the Lord. Now, how do we describe God's grace? Let me give you seven things on describing the grace of God. Number one, it is described as God's favor. Not men's favor, God's favor. In Genesis 6:8, he says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Secondly, it is described as God's forgiving mercy. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it's of works, then it is no longer grace. Otherwise, works, notice, is no longer work. The grace of God has nothing to do with works. The grace of God is a gift of God given to you and I. That's why when we get to the Bema Seat of Christ and you stand in the presence of God as a Christian, your sins are not going to be plastered on the screen. That God forgiven you when you came to Calvary. You see? Not this Calvary, but Calvary. You know, when Christ died. Okay? And what's incredible is that when you went to Calvary and you confessed your sins, God forgave you for your sins. And so when you stand at the Bema Seat of Christ, you're going to be judged for your motive, not for your sins. And he says there that as you're being judged for motive, with your giving and your reading and your church attendance and your work and everything you did for Christ Jesus is going to be put into the fire. And it's going to be tested like gold, silver, wood, hay, or stubble. And whatever comes out of the fire, that's going to be your reward. And he says this, and there will be people standing there that by the grace of God, that people will be there. And when they come out of the fire with nothing, everything will burn up. They'll be saved by the grace of God. They'll be saved by the skin of their teeth. He says, they'll go in, but they have nothing to show for it. Nothing to show for it because of God's grace. Pretty heavy. And you see, when there is true faith, then there's true works. Because you want to do things for the Lord. That's what God says. And so grace is so important in our lives. It's God's forgiving mercy. Thirdly, it is described as eternal life. In 1 Peter 1:13, therefore gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and the rest of your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And fourthly, it is described as great grace, not little grace. Acts 4:33, and with great power the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. See, God gives grace according to his will. And then fifthly, it is described as manifold grace in the scriptures. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Notice what he said, that we need to be what? House stewards, or what he calls a house owner, watching, or a manager over God's grace that is being given to you. Be careful how you use grace. And six, it is described as God's grace is rich. Ephesians 2:4-5, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love and where he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And seventh, it is described as glorious grace. Ephesians 1:6, and to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. And then secondly, what is the source of God's grace in our lives? Number one, it is found in God's calling in your life. God's call in your life. Galatians 1:15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. That's what Paul said. Secondly, it is found in our justification by faith. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, he redeemed us. And thirdly, it is found in our forgiveness that we have received through Christ. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. And fourthly, it is found in our consolation. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. Notice everything has to do with grace. Fifthly, it is found in our faith in Christ. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And six, it is found in our growing in grace. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever and ever. You see, we need to grow daily in God's grace. Not just on Sunday morning. Every day we grow. And then seventh, it is found in our humility towards God. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And then third point is this. What are the benefits of God's grace? Number one, we are under his grace. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. That means it won't be king over your life. For you are not under the law, but under grace. And secondly, we have received his fullness of grace, John 1:16. And in his fullness, we have all received and grace for grace. And thirdly, we are standing by grace, Romans 5:2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And fourthly, we are strong through the grace of God. 2 Timothy 2:1. You therefore, my son Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And fifthly, we are growing in grace daily. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God by being put to death in the flesh and made us alive in Jesus Christ again by his grace. 6. We are bounding by the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may have the abundance for every good work. And seventh and final, we are speaking in grace. Ephesians 4:29. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but what is good and necessary, building up, that it may impart grace to those who are listening to you. You see, when we speak, we need to speak with the grace of God so that we don't offend people.
If you're feeling the Holy Spirit's conviction about presuming on God's grace and compromising in your obedience, we encourage you to take time today to make things right with the Lord. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's message, we'll send you an unedited copy for a donation of $5 or more. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for the teaching titled God's Grace Limited to Us. We'd also like to equip you with a helpful resource from Raul simply titled Grace. Featuring today's lesson as well as two others, this 3-CD audio pack provides more insight into what it means to truly embrace the Lord's mercy and surrender your life to His will. You'll get a challenge to remain faithful to the Lord even as you ponder the greatness of His unconditional love for you. Get in touch with us to order Rawls' 3-message study of God's grace, and we'll send you this audio collection for a gift of $17.95. To make your purchase, visit us online at somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165. Again, that's 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also invite you to take advantage of our many free Somebody Loves You resources. You can easily access more of Rawls' teaching with our convenient app, downloadable to your iPhone or Android. This app also features digital Bible studies that you can explore on your own. And be sure to join Rawl on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program that provides biblical guidance for your life. And all of the Somebody Loves Your Radio programs can be downloaded as podcasts when you use Spotify or iTunes. And to connect with us throughout your day, like us on Instagram and friend us on Facebook. Don't forget, we're here to support you with the truth of God's Word, and if there's anything that we can do to better serve you, please let us know. We welcome your input. We'd also love to stand with you in prayer, so when you get in touch with us, let us know how we can pray with you. Your contributions help keep these programs on the air. Somebody Loves You Radio is made possible through the partnership of listeners like you, and every gift is tax deductible. Next time, we'll continue with this series with a challenge to live out God's love by using our gifts and resources to bless others and draw them to the Lord. We hope you'll join us next time. Here's Raul now once again to wrap up today's lesson.
And in conclusion, the lesson is this, that we also not only have received the grace of God, but we also have received the peace of God. Listen to Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And secondly, he's also given to you his love to enjoy. Romans 8:35-37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, a sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. And thirdly and finally, we are to enjoy the mercies of God. Lamentations 3:22-23. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. I love that scripture. Every morning you receive the mercies of God as you give yourself to God.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.